We're in Ein Yaakov at the end of the Daf Dalid, page 4, literally, even though it's the third page. The Gemaras always start from Daf Beis, right? So Daf Dalid Amud Beis, and we had just finished a discussion of the angels.
So we're in Ein Yaakov, right?
Yeah. Daf Dalid Amud Beis in Brachos, 4b. And we have the quote, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is going to teach us the following. Afal pi shekara adam kriyat shema bebet hakneset, even though, 4b, the bottom of the page, last two lines. Afal pi shekara adam kriyat shema bebet hakneset, even though a person has read shema in shul, we all read shema in our prayers. Mitzvah likoto al mitato. Nonetheless, one has a mitzvah to read it when he is lying in bed. There are two different things. There's the point of reading Kriyat Shema as part of the prayer. And then, aside from that, we read Kriyat Shema when we're in bed. And this serves to protect us. And now the Gemara is going to expand on this a little bit. The Gemara begins by quoting, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Me'eikra. Rabbi Yossi says, what verse is the source for this? The verse states in Tehillim, Rigzu v'al techetau, so to speak, get angry and do not sin. Say in your hearts upon your beds and then be silent and sleep. So our sages said that this verse that says say in your hearts is a reference to the verse in Shema that says that the words of Shema should be on your hearts. So say those words that refer to the heart, the words in which we affirm monotheism, that God is one, the words of the parsha of Shema, say those as we take our rest for the night. Tehillim 4. Yeah, very good. So now that we've quoted this verse, the Gemara is going to continue expanding on this verse. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, "Im talmid chacham hu, if he is a student of a chacham, en tzarich, he is not required to say Shema when he lies in bed." For the purpose of this Shema that we end the day with is to protect us. And if he's a Talmid Chacham, so what does he do when he's lying in bed? He's reviewing what he's learned during the day. So his learning is going to protect him. So he doesn't need to repeat the Shema one more time because that protection is unnecessary for him. Now, we should just note that in Talmud language, different words have different meanings. And we tend to read them and translate them all the same. But we have to recognize that the word chacham means one thing. Talmid chacham means another thing. Chacham is a level. He's on the level that he's called a chacham, so to speak, a rabbi. And talmid chacham is someone who is a disciple of a chacham. Now, people sometimes ask me, are you a student of Rabbi Feinstein? So my answer is, I've learned by him. But I don't think I attained the level that I could be called his student. The fact that you learned by someone doesn't make you his student. To be called someone's student is to attain a level of being his student. Rav Papa was Rava's student. Whatever Rav Papa said, you could assume he heard from Rava. If he said something, the Gemara assumes Rava said it, because that's who he learned by. So when that is the case, the Gemara will say, he learned by Rabbi Akiva and he learned by Rabbi Yishmael, the Gemara says. When he learned by Rabbi Akiva, he used to derive things in Rabbi Akiva's tradition. When he went to Rabbi Yishmael, he learned Rabbi Yishmael's way. And this quote is from here. Sometimes the Gemara is going to say, that's his own opinion, that's not his rabbi's opinion. But the Gemara has to say it, because the general assumption is, if he said it, he learned it back by his rabbi. So when we read Talmid Chacham, we have to note that it's a Talmid Chacham, the student of a Chacham, which is a very high level. We're going to see the Gemara at the end of Brachos is going to discuss dreams and how we interpret dreams. So the Gemara is going to say, Gimel Chachamimim. There are three Chachamim, three different sages that if you see them in your dream, it has a certain meaning. And after the Gemara finishes explaining what each Chacham that appears in a dream, what it represents, the Gemara says, Gimel, Shlosha, Talmidei Chachamimim. There are three disciples, Talmidei Chachamim, and if you see them in the dream, then it has a different meaning. So that's one place where it's very blatant that there's a difference between a Chacham and a Talmid Chacham. There are other places. That's what the first place we'll encounter it here. So here the Gemara said, even a Talmid Chacham, he doesn't have to say Shema when he lies down. And we should note, the Gemara said, En Tzarich. And the words En Tzarich means is not obligated. But the inference very often is that it's still a level of piety if he does. He doesn't have to, he is not required, but nonetheless, there might be a level of piety if he does. Amar Abaye. Abaye, whose real name was Nachmani, he was an orphan, was adopted by Rabbi Bar Nachmani, who gave him this nickname, being that this child that he adopted was had the same name as his own biological father. So the adoptive father, whose own father was called Nachmani, used to call Abaye, Abaye, my father, you have my father's name. Because the halacha is that one is not allowed to use his father's name. If a person's father's name is Eliyahu Einai, and there happens to be someone in Machon Meir whose name is Eliyahu Einai, so you're not allowed to call him by his name, because that's an unusual name. Anyone hears you say Eliyahu Einai, they say, oh, there's one, it's his father. He's using his father's name. That's disrespectful. So Rabbah didn't want to call this adopted kid by his name, so he called him Abaye, you're my father. Abaye is also an acronym for the verse, Asher Becha Yerucham Yatum. In you, God, an orphan gets comfort. Those words, Abaye, are an acronym for that verse. So Rabbi Bar Nachmani gave him the nickname and it stuck. And that's why we find often in the Gemara, Abaye quotes his mother. Amrali Im, my mother taught me, Abaye says throughout the Gemara, because he didn't have a father. So Abaye says, Af Talmid Chacham, even a Talmid Chacham, Mibayle Lemeimar, is required to say Chad Psukad Rachme. One verse for mercy from heaven he is supposed to say, Kegon, for example, Biyadcha Afkid Ruchi, I put my soul in your hand, I put it in your trust, God. Padita Oti, and you will redeem me, Hashem Kelemet, God who is a truthful, powerful God. Let's read those words again, and let's note what the words mean. Initially, Rav Nachman had said, Talmid Chacham doesn't have to say it. We have a rule in the Mishnah and in the Gemara that if one rabbi is going to contest what a previous rabbi said, then it says, so-and-so said, it says the word said, that he said after his name. If it says, said so-and-so, then he just made a statement. Right? If it says, Amar, Rabbi Aleph, Rabbi A said such. Amar, Rabbi Beis said such, said Rabbi Beis such. So they each ventured their opinion. But if it says, Mr. A said this, and said Miss, and Mr. B said that, that's a reference that Mr. B was coming to argue on Mr. A, right? So over here, we would expect that it would say, Abaye, Abaye Amar, Abaye says, because he's coming to argue on Rav Nachman. It doesn't say that. It says, Amar Abaye, we have a statement from Abaye. What does Abaye say? Af Talmid Chacham, even a Talmid Chacham. When we have the word Af, so Af could mean a nose, but in the Gemara language, usually it's not a reference to the nose, it means even. And Af like Afilu. When we have the word Af, it connotes a second level. Meaning we say, everyone has to hear the Megillah read on Purim, right? Even women have to hear the Megillah read. Are they on the same level as men? No. A woman cannot read the Megillah for men, Ashkenazim hold. Some say that when the Gemara says even, it doesn't connote a lower level. Two opinions in Tosis. Ashkenazim say that the women's obligation is lesser than the men's obligation to hear the Megillah, and therefore a woman may not read the Megillah for a man. Right? So that's what the Gemara says. Af hen ayu botones. Even they were in that miracle. So when Abaye is talking to us, Abaye is saying, Af Talmid Chacham, even a Talmid Chacham, not on the same level as everyone else, he too, on a lower level, should say one verse of compassion. Kigon. Whenever the Gemara says kigon, what does it mean? It means, for example. It means there are other examples. You don't have to say this one specifically. And the same thing holds for Rashi. Biyadcha afkid ruchi padita oti Hashem kelemet. I put my soul as your... I give it to you to watch, and you redeem me. The Gemara discusses what blessings we make every morning. There's a blessing that everyone, as far as I know, makes every morning that does not appear in the Gemara. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Elokeinu, our God, Melech HaOlam, King of the world, Hanoten Le'ef Kwa, you give strength to those that are tired. Doesn't say that in the Gemara. That blessing in our Gemara does not appear. not only doesn't it appear in the Gemara, Rav Yosef Karo, the composer of the Shulchan Aruch, writes, it's a mistake to say it. That's an invention. It's a modern day invention. We don't say it. You open any siddur, it says that blessing. Our custom is to say that blessing. What? Okay. But that one, that's what it says about that one. So, if we go a generation before the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur says the following. He says, in the Sidurim that are printed throughout Germany, throughout Ashkenaz, this blessing appears. And this blessing is based upon the following Medrash. The Medrash says, if I tell you I have a Corvette, I have to leave for 3 years, I'm leaving the country, I want you to watch my Corvette. Now, you can't leave a Corvette sitting dormant. Drive it every so often, so the engine keeps going, I change the oil, watch it, take care of it. I can rest assured that when I get back, that Corvette is not going to look the same as when I left it. It's worn down a little bit. When I was in Yeshiva in Merkaz Arav, so I once got a gift, a jacket, a very nice jacket, a winter jacket. And guys would come to me and say, you know, I have a date tonight. Can I borrow that jacket? I always told them, but I don't mind, just taking into account, many other guys borrowed it before you. And the girl might have dated someone with that jacket. Like, I don't know. At your own risk. You can take it. So that jacket got worn down, not by me. It was in use like almost every night. It was like going around, you got 500 guys in America's are out. So a lot of guys wore it. And I'm like a middle size. So it was a little big on me. So it fit a lot of people. The way things work is that when you give someone something, you get it back worn down. You don't get it back in the same condition you gave it. Sometimes it's very worn down. That's the way it works between mankind. You give something to someone, you can rest assured he's going to use it and you're going to get it back in a different condition. We come at night and we're worn down. We've had a long day. We're tired. And we lie in bed and we give our neshama up to Hashem and we say, Rabban Shalom, watch this for me. I'm going to sleep. I need you to watch me. Well, we get it back the next morning. It's not like that Corvette. It's not worn down. It's fresh. We get it back rejuvenated. What? Tahor, right? Tahorahi, right? It's better than when we give, right? We Hashem made it that when we go to sleep, we give Him the responsibility. You watch over us now. Our neshama goes up and reports in heaven. And when it comes back down, it has new strength. Tomorrow morning, we have Chadashim Labkarim. Every morning, we have rejuvenation. We're like new creations. And therefore, says the Tur, that's why the sages instituted this blessing that we say we thank God for giving us strength because every morning there's new strength. And Rav Yosef Karo quotes this medrash with regard to our rabbinic institution to wash our hands every morning. There is a discussion among the Rishonim, why do we wash our hands every morning? The Rush says because when you're sleeping at night, they used to sleep without pajamas, so a person naturally touches the sweaty parts of his body. And his hands are dirty. He's got to wash his hands in preparation for prayer. You can't go to pray when your hands are dirty. The Rashba says a totally different reason. He says, we wash our hands in the morning because every morning we're starting life afresh. It's as though you're a newborn person. You're coming to serve your Creator. You're a new person. You're a new creation. Wash your hands. Now, if you didn't sleep at night, that's not the case. So the Beis Yosef quotes this Medrash and says, this is the reason why we wash our hands in the morning according to the Rashba. Because every morning God gives us a fresh start on life. We're starting again. So we're saying, okay, I'm preparing myself for the service of God. Just like Kohanim would prepare themselves in the temple with washing their hands. I wash my hands. I wash my feet. I take a shower. I wash my face. I brush my teeth. I come to prayer. I come refreshed. We quoted a verse here. That even a Talmid Chacham, when he lies down, he should say this verse. What's he saying in this verse? B'yadcha, in your hand, afkid ruchi. I give my ruach, my neshama, I place it in your hand now that I'm going to sleep. Paditoti, and you, God, you redeem me. You take me out of the dredges of today, and you give me new strength for tomorrow. That's why the Talmid Chacham, the Gemara, chose this verse. Because this verse is a reference to the rejuvenation that Talmid Chacham also experiences. He's also tired at the end of the day, and he also wakes up refreshed the next morning. So that's why the Gemara chose this verse. Amar Rav Levi Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Levi Bar Chama quotes Reish Lakish. And we've discussed Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish started off learning, and then he left to become an armed bandit. He was once captured by cannibals. There are many stories about Reish Lakish. One time, he was running. He was on the run. He was a bandit, and he leaped across a river. And Rav Yochanan, the sage of composed the Jerusalem Talmud, the great rabbi of Jerusalem, the great rabbi of Israel, saw him leaping across the river, and he said, "Wow, Chayil Chalor Raisa, your strength should be in Torah." He remembered that this guy was once in the Beis Medrash. And Reish Lakish, who saw the beauty of Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan is a very good-looking person, said to him, "V'yafiyutach l'nishim, and your beauty should be on a woman." So when Rav Yochanan heard this, he wasn't offended. He said, "I have a sister who's better looking than me, and if you come to learn Torah, I'll convince her to marry you." And Reish Lakish said, "It's a deal. If she's better looking than you, fine." And then Reish Lakish said, "Okay, I'm coming to learn. Where's the Beis Medrash?" And Rav Yochanan said, "Come, I'm on this side of the river." And Reish Lakish tried to take the leaping jump back across, and he couldn't do it. So Rav Yochanan told him, "You know why? The second you accept the yoke of Torah on you, Torah matesh kochosh ladam. You're not as strong as you used to be. Before you accepted to learn Torah, you had the strength. Now you just accepted it, you should get ready. Torah seeps the strength out of you." So Reish Lakish came and learned Torah, and he learned by Rav Yochanan, and he was his brother-in-law. They argued throughout the Gemara. And Rav Yochanan had long, long eyelashes. It was difficult for him to see. So he had these gold tweezers with which he'd lift his eyelashes every so often to look. Now, you remember that in those times they didn't have the written Gemara. Most of the learning was by heart. So they didn't need to see that much. They were conversing. So he's giving his lecture by heart, and everyone's listening and remembering it. And he notices that there's this guy who keeps firing back at him, back and forth. And finally he says, "You know, who is this guy?" Every time he says something, the guy has a swift answer. So at some point, Rav Yochanan wanted to see who it was. Now, Reish Lakish had a broken jaw. I don't know if it was from one of the fights or it was inborn. He had a broken jaw, and he always looked like he was smiling. So Rav Yochanan said something, and Reish Lakish gave him a very sharp answer. And Rav Yochanan said, "Hey, the guy's really sharp. Let me see who answered me so well." So he lifts his eyebrows, and he sees Reish Lakish with his broken jaw, and it looks like Reish Lakish is laughing at him. So Rav Yochanan was hurt. And in Shemayim, Rav Yochanan's hurt. So they say, "Okay, Reish Lakish, you're an innocent bystander, but you caused the great rabbi Rav Yochanan hurt. We're checking your books." And they check and they check and they say, "Oh, we find you... you're not 100% clean. Who's 100% clean?" And Reish Lakish dies. So it seems like it was pretty close to instantly.
There was an argument that you said that you were a bandit, and then Reish Lakish said, "I was a bandit, but I was a Talmid Chacham," and he cursed Reish Lakish, so Reish Lakish died.
Show me. Show me.
No, it wasn't Reish Lakish that looked
at it. You guys are quoting me things that I don't know, that also don't seem that they could be correct. What you're saying seems a little difficult, because this concept that Reish Lakish learned before he came isn't written in the Gemara. It's Tosus's invention. It doesn't say it in the Gemara. Show me. Tosus says it. It has sources. There's a reason why Tosus says it. But to say what you're saying is a little difficult, because it just doesn't say it. The first source that says Reish Lakish learned before he departed from learning is Tosus.
He was learning the Shechita, because then afterwards he had to kill people.
Show me.
Isn't it?
You're quoting Mars, part of which I know, and the other parts I don't know, so show me. Fine, I don't know. I don't remember. But I don't remember if it was about Rav Yochanan. That story is written. I just don't remember if it's about Rav Yochanan.
So you're sitting on seven pillows, and then so there are seven rows also of Talmidim.
Yeah. Okay. I don't remember. Could be. That I don't remember. But you two are saying, show me. I don't know. So Reish Lakish is dead, and Rav Yochanan is giving a lecture, and he says, "You know, it says in the we have a tradition. Anything that says in the prophets, we have a source for it in the Torah." says in the prophets, it says in the Mishle, Ivelet Adam Tesalef Tarko, Va'al Hashem Yizaf Libo. Man's own foolishness causes him to mess up, and he blames God. Where does this show up in the Torah? And a kid sitting there, and he says, sure, it shows up in the Torah. So he says, yeah, where? So he says, it says in the Torah that the brothers, after they sold Yosef, and after they had trouble with the Egyptian king, they said, what's God doing to us? They blamed God, and who caused it? They sold their brother down to Egypt. That's how he became the king, and that's why he's making all this trouble for them. So Rabbi Yochanan said, wow, and he went looking for his tweezers. Let me see who said that. So as he was looking for his tweezers, his sister came in and grabbed the kid and said, get out of here. So the Gemara says, she said, don't let him do to you what he did to your father. Bad enough he did it to my husband. So back to Reish Lakish. Now we have a quote. Amar Rav Levi Bar Chama Amar Hashem Men Lakish. Rav Levi Bar Chama is quoting Reish Lakish. Lo'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer ha. A person should always anger his yetzer atov against his yetzer hara. Shenemar, as the verse states, and this is the verse we quoted just a minute ago, as a source for saying Shema at night, rigzu, get angry, v'al techtau, and do not sin. How do we prevent ourselves from sinning by getting angry? By angering our yetzer tov. I've often wondered to myself, how come is it if someone smacks me, I get upset? What'd you smack me for, right? But if someone tells me, here, have some, and I eat it, and then he says, I forgot to tell you, it wasn't kosher. So I feel bad, but I don't get as upset as if he smacked me, right? We don't. The classical example is parents. A kid comes and turns on the switch on Shabbos, and they say, don't do that, it's Shabbos. He starts playing with a ball, and he bashes the vase, and then his mother comes yelling, you broke the vase! One second, what are you telling the kid? The vase is far more important to me than Shabbos. When you desecrate Shabbos, then I say, don't do it, then I can hold myself. But if you dare break something of monetary value, then I blow a fuse. That's the way we are. So our sages told us that one of the ways that we can contend with our Yetzer Ha is by angering our Yetzer Tov. If when a person were faced with a situation where he knows he can do something that's wrong, and he'd get angry and say, no, how could I even think of that? Don't. Then he'd be more successful. There's the famous story. We read Akdamos. We read Unsan Etoke, part of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur prayer. As we introduce the Kedusha, is how we tell over Unitane. We will tell over Tokef Kedushat Hayom, the strength of the holiness of the day. And we tell over about how the angels shake, and it's one of the most moving prayers of the day. The story behind that, the composer of that used to be an advisor to a non-Jewish king, and the king would always tell him, I want you to come and join Christianity. And he'd always say, no, and no, and no. And then finally one time the king said, no, you got to do it now, I'm telling you. And he said, give me 3 days to think about it. And at the end of 3 days he came before the king and he said, I regret I ever said such a thing. How could I let such words come out of my mouth? Did I have to think about it? The mouth that spoke that way, how could it speak that way? I spoke that way, my hands should be cut off, my feet should be cut off, and that's what happened. And he was brought into, the king really cut off his hands and his feet, and he was bleeding to death, and they brought him into shul, and in the last day or two of his life, he composed this prayer, which we all say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, recounting the holiness of the day of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So, sometimes, a person is supposed to be able to shake in anger at the sin. We don't do that. You know, if someone comes and offers us, I want you to do some work for me. I won't pay taxes. I won't report you. We'll do something not on the books. We don't get upset. Why are you offering that to me? We sit. We think. Maybe no. What do you mean? What right do we have to steal from the government? But we don't react that way. If a person comes and tells us, come and meet a non-kosher restaurant. We say, no, I don't do that. We don't get upset. If someone come and tell me, come, I want to take $100 from you. Just come into my house. Just say, I'll just take $100 from you. I would say, what, are you nuts? I'm gonna let you take $100 from me? About physical things, we look at someone who's trying to take them from us, and we say, no way. We'll get upset if someone tries to take 2 cents from me. And why should I let you take 2 cents from me? But when it comes to the spiritual, then we're more easygoing. So Chazal instructed us sometimes, if a person wants to be successful, he has to be able to get his yetzer tov, his good, to be upset at his bed. Boaz is lying in the field. He wakes up in the middle of the night. He's just lost his wife. He spent quite a while alone. And suddenly he sees a young woman lying next to him. And she says, I'm here for you. And Boaz thinks for a second and he says, I don't know that I'm going to last the night. So what does Boaz do? Boaz takes a vow. He says, I swear this isn't going to happen tonight. Why did Boaz take a vow? Because Boaz knew that he has to be margiz to anger his Yetzer Tov against his Yetzer Hara. So Boaz swears at his Yetzer Hara and he says, I'm taking a vow now, this isn't happening tonight. A person sometimes has to get excited to excite the good in order to overcome the bad. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. Rigzu, get angry, anger, stir up your Yetzer Tov, get some excitement into it, Val Techtau, and then you won't sin. Im nitzcho, if a person was successful in overcoming his yetzara, mutav, very good. Vim lav, and if he is unsuccessful, yasok b'torah, then go delve in Torah. Shneemar, as the verse continues and says, imru vilvavchem, go say the stuff that's contingent in your heart. What do you say in your heart? That's Torah, that's learning Torah. Im nitzcho, if in learning Torah he succeeded in overcoming his yetzara, mutav, very good. Vim lav, and if he was unsuccessful, yikra kriyat shma, he should read the Shema, which reminds us that God's running the world. Shneemar al mishkavchem, as the verse continues and says, say it on your bed, remind yourself of what you say at bed at night. Im nitzchov, that one over the yetzara, mutav, very good. Vim lav, and if not, yizkol yom amita, remind your yetzara of the day of death. Shneemar, as the verse states, v'dom musela, remember the time when you'll be silent forever. This Gemara teaches us many important things. Firstly, that there's a Yetzer Hara. God created the world, and it's natural that every person has an inclination to do what's wrong. And this inclination to do what's wrong is a good part of the world. God says, Barati Yetzer Hara, I created the Yetzer Hara. Barati lo Torah tavin. I created the Torah as the spice, not the antidote. Doesn't say with the Torah you'll be able to kill the Yetzer Hara. It says you need a spice. The world needs the Yetzer Hara. If not for that, we wouldn't move forward in life. We discussed on Friday from the Tomel Dvorah that even when we try to be kind to other people, we have to work through ourselves. Where God created us, that we're self-centered human beings. If I could see myself in Him, then I could see Him positively. But I'm still seeing myself. So, yes, we have shortcomings, but this is the way God created it. And we're not trying to uproot the Yetzer Hara, we're trying to tame it, we're trying to guide it. So when a person sees that he's faced with a situation where he may not be successful, firstly our sages said, best way is prepare yourself, get your Yetzer Hara Tov to have power. Notice the positive that's in this Gemara. The Gemara begins by telling us, strengthen the positive. The last ditch effort, the last option the Gemara offers us is remember your day of death. Because when you remember your day of death, you're really addressing something which is going to cause a person to be sorrowful. It's not something positive. The Gemara takes every positive approach, and then the Gemara says, if you have no choice, so then remember the day of death. Because we're not supposed to spend our life focused on, oh, I'm going to die. We're supposed to spend our life thinking, how am I going to be positive in this world? So the Gemara begins by telling us, strengthen the Yetzer Tov. If that works, good. If not, remember, God's running the world. If that works, good. Torah, and then remember that God's running the world. And finally, if nothing works, then you have to remember the day of death. The Gemara says we should delve in Torah, that's going to help us. The Gemara also says that there were two great sages who were great sinners. Doiga, Domi and Achitofel. Two in King David's time, they don't merit a place in the world to come. They were both big, big Talmidei Chachamim. So the Gemara says, yeah, their learning was all external. And that's what the Gemara says. If we want the Torah to work for us to be better people, then we have to be osek b'Torah. We have to delve in Torah, and that's why the verse says, imru bilvavchem, say in your hearts. If the Torah is connected to our hearts, then the Torah purifies us. So long as the Torah is external, so a person can know all the Torah, like Dog and Achitofel knew. Dog and Achitofel knew more than David the Melech. They were big, big, big Talmidei Chachamim. That means that like everyone stood when they walked in. They're bigger than every rabbi you guys can think of. Anyone you know, they were bigger than. Any rabbi you've seen in our generation, they were much bigger than him. And nonetheless, the Gemara tells us that all of their Torah was external. And as such, they sinned so terribly that they don't merit a place in the world to come. So the Gemara says, if we want the Torah to work, to help us be better people, not like Dog and Achitofel, who were learning Torah, they prayed more than 3 times a day. But when the moment was ripe, they stuck knives in King David. So, I'm saying figuratively, not literally. They stuck knives. But this only works if it's in Huvil Vavchem, if we say it in our hearts. Then we can overcome the Yetzer Ha with the Torah. We're going to go in the order of the Ein Yaakov, and the Ein Yaakov here skips the next Gemara, he quotes it later on. So we're going to skip the way he skips. Sure.
It seems like, first I understand that when you say, he's saying we should mention specific prayers, but it seems, I know it's a Hasid approach, we've already said it in Arabic, yeah? But in a way, it seems like it's harking back to before the destruction of the Second Temple when there was a big machlok at Shemai and Hillel. Yeah? When they said, one Hillel said one way that you shouldn't say it when you lie down, yeah? And Shemai said, yeah, you should say it when you raise up, when you lie down. So, Hillel won. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we know that's a lot, by Hillel. But then it would come to seem like this is saying you should. It's harkening back to a time when it says yes, you should, because we know what the law is like. We know that, but to be extra sure, you should say by Shema.
Okay, that's a very very nice point what you're raising. The Marsha is bothered with the question you just asked, and basically what he says is that we come out like Hillel, that you could say Kriyat Shema at night when you're standing or sitting or laying or any way you want that's respectful. What this Gemara is telling us, being that it doesn't say b'shoch b'cha, but rather al mishkavchem means on your resting place. That everyone has to agree is when you're lying down. So here, what Tehillim, what David HaMelech taught us in this chapter of Tehillim was that there's an added benefit to saying Shema when you're on your resting place, when you're in bed. And this is not connected to the biblical obligation to say Shema at night, where we rule like Hillel, that you don't have to say it lying down. You can say it standing or sitting or lying or any way that's respectful. That's how he explains it. Okay? Arvit is 35, right? We have a few more minutes. Okay. So, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak taught us the following. Kol akore kriyat shema al mitato, whoever reads Shema at night, kilu by his bed, kilu uchez cherv sheshtei fiyot biyado, as though he holds a double-edged sword in his hand. Shneimar, as the verse states, romimot kel bigonam, when they have the praise of God in their throat, vecherv pifiyot biyadam, then it's as though they have a double-edged sword in their hand. What does it mean, all who read Shema by their bed have this double-edged sword? So our sages taught us that God created the world, and there's also the Satan. And the Satan always tries to interfere on positive things that are happening. So whenever someone's about to take a leap forward in his life, the Satan is there trying to make him take two steps back. So the Jews are about to get the Torah, so he comes and makes them do the Egel. If you have a Talmid Chacham, someone who's moving forward in his learning Torah, it says the Satan is always trying to get him. He's not allowed to walk out alone at night, he should always have accompaniment. Avram doesn't walk out alone. He has accompaniment. We saw in Parshas Vayera. He takes the two lads with him. A chasan and a kala also. The satan is always jealous of them. They're about to bring down the Shekhinah. They're about to build their lives. He's going to do everything to make sure the shidduch doesn't work. So that's why Chazal warned us that whenever a person's holding by getting married, he should know that the satan's going to be working extra hard against him. And a person should know it could be difficulties in getting married, it could be that there'll be fights at the hall, it could be that there'll be fights at the wedding, or that something else, but things won't go smoothly. We have a guarantee that things will not go smoothly, and Chazal therefore advised, Chatan Kala also shouldn't be walking around without accompaniment. Comes our Gemara and says, a dangerous time spiritually is night. Chazal said a person isn't supposed to sleep alone in a home. Sometimes people are here alone at Ben Azmanim, they're the only one in the building. Chazal said it's not good. So how does a person get the best protection he can at night? Kol akore kriyat shema. Everyone who reads Shema at night, it's as though they're holding a double-edged sword against all the bad spirits that could come. That's why the Gemara says all, kol akore, all who read Shema at night. And Bezachem, this is where we'll pick up next week. Now we've got to go for a leap.